Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, here were our assignments from over the weekend. On Friday, what would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? RL, what you see. And then on Saturday, the karmic conversation holds the answer. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so rather than what is so. For example, the conversation claims that there is a time limit on achieving the goal of spiritual perfection. This succeeds in moving the attention away from the perfect now that is the moment. Assignment. What is the answer that is revealed to you by the karmic conversation? RL, what you see. Then on Sunday, what we realize is that suffering in any content area is caused by the karma, not the content. However, we're conditioned to frame it around the content. Assignment. Choose a behavior change that addresses the karmic bamboozle, not the content issue. Make sure you choose something that is within the focus for the month and can be practiced for a week. For example, stop 3 times a day to make a recording that reflects the absolute perfection of the moment and own the projection of that perfection.
We were just talking about that, weren't we?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller. Well, seems like
no.
Our first... Hello? First caller? I guess...
Hello?
Not. Yes, there
she
is.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
There you are. Loud and clear.
Oh, good. This is Debbie calling from Minnesota.
Hello, Debbie.
Well, I resonated with a lot of what people have been speaking about when they've been calling into the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So the belief is that, you know, if I get it right, if I complete, or if I get it right, then my life's going to work great. Like, everything's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just...
Sort of, my life is great.
As you've described, being an agent of life and letting life lead and paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really have appreciated listening to some of the guidance you've given to other people about, you know, life gets all the credit, let life lead, you know, and I just want to be a good agent of life. Like, that kind of really resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm. Because
what
occurs to me, just quickly.
No, go
with
on.
That, you know, what we know is that what we attend to grows, which is why self-hate is such a big thing in people's lives, right? Because people get bamboozled into giving all of their attention to self-hatred, often, as you're indicating, in the form of self-improvement. Because self-improvement and self-hatred are the same thing, right? And so if we're attending to how my life isn't great, then what grows it for us is the belief that my life isn't great. But if we're giving attention to my life is great, which is as simple as focusing on all of the things that we love and appreciate and like and enjoy and are grateful for and that sort of thing, then that's what grows.
Right. Energy follows attention. What is it? Energy follows attention or attention follows energy or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, go ahead. So your behavior change.
Oh, so the behavior change, you know, I've definitely been struggling with attention going where it's not so helpful. So the behavior change was really just I've made a recording, a couple of recordings now, saying, like, I can't even remember what I was saying. Like, love is love, or love is here, or, and then I started just talking about kind of what you were saying to Jeff about being an agent of life, and making recordings like that just to reinforce my faith in the fact that if I can just practice that, you know, just letting life lead.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like I want to just, the other thing you've said that really stuck with me that's helping me with this is when you were talking about the spontaneous yoga, and that instead of like compulsively finishing a yoga practice that includes all of the things that a yoga practice should, just follow that energy into whatever form it brings, and then just give my whole heart to whatever that is, but being receptive rather than trying to prescribe
directive.
A practice for myself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good. And so here's just another little piece of that. So you realize that attention is going to what you don't want to be attending to. Okay. The only way you could know that is that you are the attention that knows what it is that you want to attend to.
Right. So just making that shift back to
that's
that.
That's right. You don't even have to shift back to it. Just realize that that's what's there first. Yeah? So first you're that awareness, and then and attention is on that awareness, and then attention goes to something that's wrong, something that's not enough, some lack, some loss, some deprivation. Okay, attention goes to that, and all you're doing is staying with the awareness that knows where the attention is, and as you stay with that awareness, attention will return to the awareness.
So does that just take faith to know that attention is going to return to where it does go there because I brought it there.
That's right. And just, because that's where it lives. And our contribution is taking it away. That's what ego does.
I see.
Ego takes the attention for itself. Right? And so to realize that where you are is where you want to be. And again, if you didn't know that, you wouldn't know attention was where you didn't want it to be. So just stay with the awareness that is that clarity. Yeah.
Such stillness. That takes a lot of stillness. It's like that's like restraining like a restraint.
No, not actually. If you begin to practice attending to the awareness that knows, the awareness that is aware, you will not need to restrain yourself because that awareness is what you are. Ego is not what you are. And you don't need to restrain ego. Just ignore it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Debbie.
All right. I'll try.
Here you go.
I mean, I will
all right.
try. Okay.
That's right. Goes. You'll be.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Debbie. Oh, Sherry, I think this conversation is something that we want to listen to over and over again because I've never heard it articulated the way you just said it in terms of attention is actually there. The attention is the way awareness is aware, and that if I am aware that the attention is on egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, I have to be aware of it, otherwise I'm fully identified. And so
that's right. The awareness is aware of that.
And so the
awareness is what you are.
Right. And so the movement, if anything else, is the staying with the awareness is really returning attention to awareness.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Because actually attention and awareness are one.
Yes.
We talk about them as two separate things, because attention has the ability
to follow ego around.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not two separate things. Attention and awareness are actually one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then what you said, that self-improvement and self-hatred are the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see why it's so popular.
Yes,
ego loves it so.
Well, and it's directly opposite to the conversation of returning attention to the awareness that we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different movement than self-hatred and self-improvement, which is a focus on what we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
All
much simpler than ego would have us believe. You know, it gets us into that doing thing.
Mm, yeah.
And doing, as we know, is the land of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing something about everything, then you have to be in conditioned mind. You have to figure it out. You have to see what that, and then you have to make that happen. Then you have to do that. And then it's very, very busy out there in ego land. And, of course, that's where all the attention is and the unhappiness.
And the interesting the thing that you just said to Debbie is that if I'm in the world of ego, then it feels like constraining ego is what I need to be doing. But the actual movement is to go back to the being, which is what we authentically are. There is no movement within ego or from ego that's required.
That's right. And so it's not a doing, it's a being.
Yeah.
Which is why if we just breathe and feel the shoulders drop and the belly relax and we're just here, there.
Yeah.
All done.
Mm. All right. And on that note, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha.
Hello, Pasha.
From Massachusetts. No, from Michigan. Michigan. Yes.
All right. All right. So what's the behavior change, sir?
Well, I'm practicing not to go with ego behaviors that are kind of deeply habitual. And and once I'm there, I'm not noticing how I'm jumping on this self-improvement train to change my behavior, and I am guided by Sudha Zen how to make that behavior change. And then I'm failing, and then I'm beaten, and then I'm back into suffering land. But then I see when I drop that, because it's not working. You know, like no matter how hard I try, I will fail and I will come to suffering. So it's helpful to go, you know, this cycle around in full circle to see that there is no solution there. And someone who went to believe that self-improvement program, we just did the full circle, and there is no behavior change. There is just more punishment for it.
Wow. So, Pasha, I just want to underline that because it's really important. It's nothing that happens to us is a mistake. Right, because that's how we see. How are we going to realize that self-improvement and self-hate are the same thing? Well, we have to go through enough self-improvement programs to realize, well, that just doesn't work. All it does is make me feel bad. Okay, it is designed to fail. Right, and so there. Now you don't have to. You don't have to deal with that anymore, right? Because you have clarity about the truth of that, right? So every step of the way was perfect for you to get to that point of clarity.
Yes, and it works in a kind of in a small kind of short term, by kind of enticing me into this system by, and what I see how it works, it just says, oh, hey, I will stop beating you less. I will beat you less if you do this. And doing this is engage with me, so I will be your coach.
Uh-huh.
And if I'll be your coach, wow. I will beat you less if you buy into this. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, coach, I'll do what you say. And for like a short term, it's kind of like reduce the beating and give me a sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, it's working. I'm like I'm on this program, and look, I'm less suffering. I'm getting less beating, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I buy into that. This is how uh-huh. I buy into conditioned coach, because uh-huh. it gives me short term less beating.
Yes. So I want to underline that again, because that is critical as well. And it takes many, many forms. But the reason that we do fall for that is that for a little while, it all feels
yep.
better. So in yep. the world that, you know, with people that I work with, one of mm-hmm. the big things is quitting. Okay. So I'm doing
yep.
this thing that is actually good for me. I love it. I'm, you know, I'm growing, I'm changing, I'm whatever it is. And the voices are just on me. Quit. And I quit. And for mm-hmm. a little while, I feel better. And the voice
yep.
will say, see how much better
yep.
you feel? And then it just shifts
yep.
to, you're a quitter. Nothing in your mm-hmm. life is ever going to change because you are a quitter. And just another
yep.
example of what you're pointing at, how it does let us feel better for a very short period of time so that we will continue to look to it for guidance.
Yes, yes. And then the uh-huh. whole cycle is built around this little short-term intervals
yeah.
in which of them kind of walk, but then
mm-hmm.
they loop around back to big suffering.
Yeah. Yeah,
and here I am back on square one,
right.
And when I'm kind of okay, this nothing here worked. I'm coming to
mm-hmm.
breath, to that awareness, to the compassion
mm-hmm.
who was just dragged along through the whole cycle, and I'm here
mm-hmm.
with him, while
mm-hmm.
Voices are screaming in the corner that I need to get back into the program. I'm staying, and also they add the urgency. You know, like
yes.
you're gonna miss the
yeah.
next lesson of our program. You're gonna be blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
yeah,
dropping
yeah.
all there, staying
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
yeah,
right.
Sure.
And so two things about that,
mm-hmm.
Pasha. One is a sense of humor, and the other is
yeah.
humility. Right? Because every time it's able to fool me, every time I fall for it, if I can just get to that place of, you know, no awakening until I'm ready. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want an awakened ego. So, okay, I fell for it again. All right, clearly, I haven't seen everything. All right, great.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again. And with that sense of humor of, you know, how is this, you know, there's a lightness and a caring for the human being and an understanding that what we want is freedom. We don't want to just feel a little bit better for a little period of time. We're going for freedom.
Yeah.
And so anything
yeah.
that is able to trip us up, we want to see through it. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pasha.
Thank you for that.
That was fabulous. Okay.
Sure.
Go happy.
Yes, I will.
Thanks, Pasha. What I was noticing in that conversation, right, Sherry, is there's a way in which we talk about those as the steps of a battering cycle or, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's
yeah.
how ego operates. And for us to have an experience from which we articulate that's really that's just an experience you we all want to get to, rather than look at the framework and see if it matches my experience is one level of practice. But to be able to generate the framework from one's own experience, that's just unbelievable because we see it so clearly, right?
Yeah, yeah, yes. And Ashwini, back to what we were just talking about with Debbie, what sees it clearly is what we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, you know, we don't need to, as a great yoga master once said, don't be afraid, right? He said, don't afraid. That was the way it went. Don't afraid, right? We don't have to afraid because what can see it is what we are. And that's all we're going for. Over and over and over and over is that point of clarity and realizing that the seeing is the awareness that we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yeah. Well, and the perfection of the process, I think that's the other thing you were talking to Pasha about, that there's no mistake. That's why we don't need to be afraid. The trajectory of the awakening is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It's absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And if, you know, we can take comfort in that. We can enjoy that. We can relax into it. However we want to think about that. But it has been our experience. And as far as I can tell, it will continue to be our experience. Yeah. When we look at our life, we realize every step has been perfect to get me to here.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Well, long time no see, Emily.
Yeah, that was so fun yesterday.
Well,
so fun to have you here.
Well, thank you.
So for my behavior change, I'm trying to kind of formulate this. It seems like, the conversation, the bamboozle ego's getting me with is this kind of shame and ridicule, like it almost kind of laughing at me a little bit, like, you know, you're going to do practice for work. And so I was trying to do something that would be kind of in the spirit of fun, like, I don't know, somehow having fun with that, like laughing back at it or recording and listening about how much I enjoy practice and how I could have maybe a fun conversation with somebody or just have a fun conversation on my recorder talking about what I do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, it does. And so the place that that I would project would be helpful is for you to begin to laugh at that voice. Okay? Along the lines of, and so what would be a better alternative? Spending the rest of my life suffering with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And because what you're doing is making a choice, the same choice that probably all of your spiritual heroes, certainly all of mine, have made, which is, I have this one life, and I'm going to devote it to awakening. Now, I will, maybe I won't, but I only have this life. And so that's what I choose to do with it. That puts you in some outrageously good company. Okay. Some of the most loving, lighthearted, friendly, helpful, happy, sincere people who have ever graced this planet. Right. And so anything that would think that was a laughable ambition is ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
Yes, it is. And that voice that talks to you like that would have laughed at the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to make fun of the Buddha.
Yeah.
If that would work, if that would have stopped him.
Yeah, and all children who are just looking for fun and play and beauty in the world,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it would have laughed
to
at
be
that.
Alive, to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, that's childish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes, to talk about all of the reasons that you want to do what you're choosing to do with your life, absolutely. But the main thing is to get it that ego is ludicrous. It's ignorant.
Yeah.
It's hateful. It knows nothing. It has no power. It has no anything. It brings nothing except a mean and nasty set of words to any interaction.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a fun focus. And
yes. Yes.
It does.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You want to keep it light, because even though that's a very, very serious ambition, you don't want to be serious about yourself, because that's being serious about ego, and that's a disastrous direction to go in.
Yeah, and the way it can mm-hmm. get me mm-hmm. there with that shame and ridicule,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but to see it for mm-hmm. what it is.
Yes, yeah. And again, we started out this morning with the whole owning the projections, right? You own mm-hmm. your projections about what you want for life. And then make it own its projections. Not that it will, but just follow that back. Who is ridiculous? Who is absurd? Who is laughable? Ego is.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you mm-hmm. so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks, Emily. I think we could squeeze one more caller in, Jerry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Deanna from Santa Cruz.
Hello, Deanna. What kind of
Hello.
A behavior change have you got going?
Well, my karma is to always be nice and compassionate, even in the face of great, great difficulty with somebody. So my stepmother has been, you know, a lot of people would say very cruel in trying to divide me from my father for the last 17 years. So this weekend I visited my father, and I didn't do the karma of always being super, super nice to her. I really focused the attention on my dad, who's very ill, and it worked so much better. And so it's just kind of amazing to me that there it is. I'm in amazement today.
So presence and compassion doesn't always look nice or polite.
Yes, and that's what I've had such a hard time understanding. So if you can say more about that, because that's what I experienced, you know, 20 years of being really nice and compassionate and being shut down.
Well, and then Deanna, I would separate those two, because I would project the being nice that you were doing through all those years was completely conditional.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And
it felt very karmic.
Isn't. Yeah. And compassion is not conditional. And so perhaps, I don't know this, but perhaps what happened in this most recent visit is that you actually moved from an egocentric, karmically conditioned behavior of nice to an actual compassion, which is, you know, you don't have to be mean to this woman. It's just that you're not going to follow that karmic behavior of being nice. So, you know, if you were following karmic behavior of being snotty, or you were following a karmic behavior of being impatient, or a karmic,
you know, there are a lot of karmic behaviors, and nice is just the one that happens to be attached to you, right? And so to drop right. any karmic behavior pattern and to choose compassion just puts us into a completely different reality. And so within that, you could actually be what is nice to this woman, but it would be a very different nice than the one that would be coming from ego.
Well, that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like the words were the same from me,
yes.
It seemed like, but the energetic yes. was completely different.
That's right. That's right. And very often, I don't know, if this was part of it for you, but ego is controlling you in the situation, right? And the way it controls you is to give you this whole karmic reality, orientation to life, and then have you try to live it out, which is a version of self-improvement, right? And so in stepping back from that, in dropping that, in moving into a place of presence, then everybody can be included in that. You're included in that. You're not being controlled by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. You're not letting that determine how you are with you, how you are with her, how you are with your father. So there can be compassion for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating because, like I say, it felt like I said, you know, some similar things, but it wasn't coming from the same place.
That's
it wasn't
right.
coming
That's
from
exactly right.
needing to try to please her so that she'd be nicer to me. It just came,
right.
yeah, it just, and there was choice. There felt like, you know, the karmic answer, like, you know, I would feel it come up about what to say next, and I would go, that's a karmic choice. That's an identity, mm-hmm. and then I would drop it, and then something different would happen.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it, isn't it? The difference between
yeah.
operating from ego and operating from presence. And it's back to, you know, our favorite thing of it's not what, it's how. And that's what you're describing. You know, from the outside, anybody who was there would think that everything was exactly the way it had always been for the last 17 years. All the what's were the same. But the how was completely different. And that's what made all the difference for you.
Yes, that's exactly. That's exactly it. Nobody, if anybody mm-hmm. had seen it, they'd be like, this is the same kind of visit, but it was completely
mm-hmm.
different. It was completely different for me, and I assess that it was completely different for everybody, and I got to love my dad. I got to really put the focus of my attention on loving my dad instead of
yes.
being exhausted by the ego identity of trying to please
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
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 Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank goodness for practice. Yeah. And that's a lot of practice and a lot of paying attention and bringing awareness to a difficult situation, and it transforms.
Right. And then it's completely
mm-hmm.
different. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. All right. Go ahead,
okay.
Pete.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Deanna. Oh, I love practice success stories, Sherry. And that brings us to the end of the show. Here's our assignment. Beginning today, your daily practice will be to 1, start your day by listening to a recording from day 20, 2, practice your behavior change, and 3, record what you notice at the end of the day.
Mm. Such fun. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Here we go. Happy.
Go happy.